This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just keeping in the tradition that Sheikh Faqih started, our khutbah today was about the refugee crisis. Since this coming Sunday is going to be a World Refugee Day, as we speak, there are about 65 million refugees around the world. Last year, I think every minute, 24 people were displaced from their place of residency. And it's a big, huge crisis, and you've got to love the way that the Quran approached this issue. Many messengers that were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are presented in the Quran as refugees. Musa alayhi salam was a refugee. Ibrahim alayhi salam was a refugee. Lut alayhi salam was a refugee. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a refugee. And then every other messenger was threatened with being kicked out and sent into exile. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِرُسُلِهِمْ لَنُخْرِجَنَّكُمْ مِنْ أَرْضِنَا. And those who denied the truth said to their messengers, we shall drive you out of our land. Nobody wants to be uprooted. Nobody wants to leave their home country where they have a sense of belonging, a sense of ownership of the culture, to go and be placed in a place where they're going to be deemed as strangers or as foreigners. Nobody wants that. So unlike immigrants, usually immigrants are people who move from their place of residency to improve their lives, get better education, better job, but that's not the case with refugees. And inshallah, in the next few days, we will be talking about this topic. But there is one place in the Quran that I absolutely love. So Musa alayhi salam left Egypt. And then the Quran tells us how Musa alayhi salam leaves, and he tells us, فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبْ. He left that country of Egypt. He said he left it خَائِفًا, in the state of fear, يَتَرَقَّبْ, with apprehension and in the state of suspense. And then we're told that he has an encounter in Midian with two young girls, and then he ends up meeting their father. And then the Quran tells us, فَلَمَّا قَصَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقَصَصِ. And when Musa alayhi salam told the story to this father, the father said the most brilliant statement. Words that every refugee wants to hear. فَلَمَّا قَصَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقَصَصَ قَالْ إيش؟ لَا تَخَفْ. He said the minute he told the story is, and the man just said to Musa alayhi salam, don't need to be afraid anymore. لا تخف. نجوت من القوم الظالمين. From now on, you are absolutely, this is a safe haven for you. The wrongdoers, people who do political oppression, they will no longer be able to do anything to you here. That's brilliant, man. Wallahi, I wish people who are in charge of immigration would be people like this man. People who just, you know, this is music to your ears. You're afraid, you don't know. And then all of a sudden somebody says, relax, you don't need to be afraid anymore. This is going to be safe. But when you look into the way that refugee issues are addressed nowadays, you will hear a lot about refugee crisis. Refugee crisis in North America. And there is a lot of, especially in the far right movement, where a lot of these political parties are making grounds for themselves by literally being anti-immigrants and anti-refugees. And the sad part about what is happening is that there is more focus on where refugees are going than there is on why are they refugees to begin with. The focus is on where are they going, but nobody is willing to address why are they becoming refugees to begin with? And by the way, this whole idea of European refugee crisis, that is so bogus. It is so bogus because the majority of refugees are not in Europe. They're in Pakistan, They are in Lebanon, they are in Syria, they are in Iraq, they are in Jordan, they are in Palestine, they are in Turkey. That is where they are. A very small percentage actually makes it to Europe. But then the way that it is presented as if everybody is going there, the reality of it, of the 65 million refugees, 40 million are refugees within their own country. And then the other 25 million are mostly in their neighboring countries. But the question remains, and that is, why are they becoming refugees? Somebody benefits from them becoming refugees. You know that the biggest reason as to why these people become refugees is conflict, wars, and somebody benefits from these wars. If your economy is based on military selling weapons, this is the only industry that's making you money, peace is not good. So what you want to do is you want to see a lot of war. Just to give you an example, and not to make this long, Henry Kissinger, who was the Secretary of State. I believe that Henry Kissinger is one of the most evil people that we have ever seen in recent history. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy that man. Wallahi, I hate him with so much passion. And hate is not something that, you know, I try to feel, but I hate that man with so much passion. What the kind of things that he is guilty of. Back in the 1970s, when the people of Chile, they selected Allende to be their, you know, democratically selected president. And then they orchestrated a coup d'etat under Henry Kissinger. And when he was told, but the people of Chile chose Allende, that Pinochet is not the man that they chose. And Henry Kissinger said, the matter is too great to be left up to the Chileans. And that is why he orchestrated a coup, and they brought one of the worst dictators in South America, Pinochet. Any case, so one time Henry Kissinger is addressing a bunch of US diplomats, and here's what he said to them. He said, your job is not to resolve conflicts. Your job is to manage the conflict. We want the conflict. We don't want it resolved. We just want it manageable. Because people benefit from these conflicts. Yeah, they result in refugees. Yeah, but that's, you know, that's just collateral damage. People benefit from that. And I think that on the one hand, we want to help those who are already refugees. But I think equally as important, if not more important, is to address why are they becoming refugees to begin with? And when you do that, you end up finding out that all wars are actually based on economy. Reality of it is that the more and the deeper you look, you find out that the country that is full of resources, look into Africa, look into a place like Congo. If you have an iPhone, if you have any kind of a phone, if you have a computer, that's where all that material comes from there. But if there was a stability, people would be asking for, you know, fair market value for their resources. But when there is a lot of conflict and instability, you know, you get these things very, very, very cheap. So as we celebrate refugees, and I myself, I am a refugee. I came to this country as a refugee. You know, you appreciate the opportunity that was granted to you. But do not create a conflict, then think that you're doing me a favor. You know, it's like when Musa alayhi salam, when the Pharaoh said to him, did I not raise you as a child? Did I not raise you as a child? And what happens is that this is what we call an attempt for social embarrassment. I remind you of how good I have been to you, and I do this in public so that in turn what you do is, and you become very modest and you become very humble and you don't talk back. So Musa alayhi salam looked at him and he said, وَتِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمُنُّهَا عَلَيْهِ. How dare you? You actually mentioned this as a favor. You deprived me of my parents. You deprived children of their parents. And now you think that you're doing us a favor? This is not old history. You know sorry, I'm just remembering all the people that I hate right now. The Belgian king, what was his name? King Apuley, what was his name? He was making Europeans look so bad in Africa Because Belgians, especially in Congo, they were the worst. Like we're talking about like the worst. So Europeans came to him and said, look, man, you're making us look bad. You better do something good. He decided to do something good. He decided to sponsor some Congolese orphans. And you know how he did it? He killed their parents and he sponsored them. That's Pharaoh. He said to Musa alayhi salam, I'm going to take you in. Take me in from where? Deprive me of my own family, deprive my family of me. You do some of us a favor, and now everybody owes. That kind of an approach, and that's why I say the Quran is a very brave book that is read by a lot of cowards. The Quran is not afraid of telling it like it is. But sometimes, you know, here you are a recipient of good, and because you are the recipient of good, somehow you become afraid of saying, yeah, but how it all started is actually wrong. And how it is going is actually wrong. Sorry, didn't mean to say the whole khutbah, but jazakum Allah khair. We did play soccer today. Most of you did not show up. Yeah, and our team lost miserably, and we're suspecting that one of our players was actually bribed. But that's what happened. But inshallah, please do join us. We started on Friday, and next time inshallah we play is going to be on Tuesday evening around 6:30 inshallah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.